Broadcasting.
Blog Talk USA. Are you tired of waiting for change? Tune in to Blog Talk USA. Let your voice be heard on Blog Talk USA.
If just one step could change the future of diabetes, why wouldn't you step out? Join us at Step Out, Walk to Stop Diabetes. Bring your friends, family, and coworkers to walk with thousands of people across the country and help us make a difference. Together, we can stop diabetes. Register today at diabetes.org/stepout or call 1-888-DIABETES. Let's change the future one step at a time.
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie?
Is that an old plumbing manual?
Oh, yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kinda wanna know how it ends.
Okay. Tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals, because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the why as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
Americans will mark the 15th anniversary of the September 11th attacks against the backdrop of a presidential campaign that features two New Yorkers who have discussed the attacks and their aftermath on the campaign trail, often in personal terms. Hillary Clinton was the junior senator from New York when the attacks took place and fought for treatment for first responders whose health was compromised by the toxic air at Ground Zero. On Sunday, an aide tells NBC News, Clinton will attend the 9/11 memorial service as a private citizen. The aide said Clinton will have no speaking role and will be present simply to pay her respects. Following a precedent set by George W. Bush and John Kerry, both the Clinton and Donald Trump campaigns say they will not hold campaign events or air ads on that day. Trump, whose campaign has yet to publicly announce his plans for Sunday, was a prominent New York real estate developer when the attacks took place. And during the Republican primary fight, he cited the resilience of New Yorkers in the wake of the attacks in response to Ted Cruz's sneering invocation of, quote, New York values.
New York values were on display for all to see in the aftermath of 9/11. A strike at the heart of our city and our nation. In our darkest moments, as a city, we showed the world the very, very best in terms of bravery and heart and soul that we have in America.
New York-based journalist Michael Daley has long covered both candidates as well as the aftermath of the attacks, and he's out with a blistering piece in the Daily Beast today discussing what the headline calls, quote, 15 years of Donald Trump's 9/11 lies, insults, and slights. And Michael Daley joins me now. You're a lifelong crime reporter, basically.
When I started, there were 2,000 murders a year in this town, so, I mean, I covered crime the way you'd cover war if you were in the middle of one.
And you've been a New York reporter, the Daily News, for years. What prompted you to write this piece, the Daily Beast?
What got me going was back in February during the Republican debates, Trump said, I lost hundreds of friends on 9/11. Hundreds, right? And I'm thinking that of all the funerals I went to after that, I never saw him. I never heard anybody talk about him. I never heard of anybody saying, oh yeah, that guy was a friend of Donald's, or I saw Donald at the wake, or Donald gave a call and asked her if she needed anything. I didn't hear his name once. So I'm thinking, how could that be? So I reached out to his organization. I said, can you name just one? I mean, because I thought it also might be interesting to, you know, this person was a friend
Report
of Donald,
out.
And,
yeah.
you know, nothing. And it just kind of stayed with me. You know, I mean, there are a lot of things you don't do, and one of them is you don't lie about people who died on that day. And particularly if you're a person who is living in the city of New York, and particularly if you live just up the street from St. Patrick's Cathedral when they had one great fireman after another getting buried out of there. And so that kind of stayed with me. There were some other things he was saying, that he saw thousands of Muslims cheering, saw news footage of thousands of Muslims cheering in New Jersey,
right.
the attack on the World Trade Center. And I never heard any of that. What I did hear, I remember there was a Muslim police cadet who was on his way to his day job at Rockefeller University. He was driving a car with the license plate saying Young Jedi, and he heard there was the attack, and he drove down there to... try to see what he could do when he was killed. I remember that. I don't remember the cheering Muslims. And then he talked about how he watched the people jump from his window at Trump Tower 4 miles away. And I'm thinking, I was down there that day, and even when you're right by the tower, when they're up there, they're not, you know, they're very small.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they became bigger. That stayed with me. And then, I was trying to see if he had ever given any money to anybody in 9/11. I came across one report in the New York Post that he had promised, this is right after the Trade Center, that he had promised to donate $10,000 when he called into the Howard Stern show to Rudy's Twin Towers Fund. And I thought, well, okay. But I didn't see any trace of that.
You haven't been able to track down that donation?
No, I haven't.
Evidence.
I mean, the Twin Towers Fund, that's closed, so it's hard to go back the
right.
other way. But the all the donations I know that he's made to anybody are through the Trump Foundation.
There should
by
be
the
records
way,
of that.
I went through the Trump Foundation records for that year and the next year and the next year and the next year and the next year. I saw no 9/11 donations whatsoever. So... And then so that's staying with me. And then he finally did go down to the Memorial Museum when he's finally in the midst of this campaign. The people down at the museum said they had never seen him there before, that he had never made a donation there before. But he did. He arrives. He gives a $100,000 check. And I called them later, and they said, well, yeah, it's drawn on his foundation, which he hasn't contributed to for at least 6 years. So even that's not his money. And then I was talking to somebody else who was kind of with him as he walked through the museum, and they were kind of surprised that almost everybody stops, is moved, can't believe what they saw this. And you'd think particularly a guy who says that he watched jumpers from the building facing him, that he would at least stop and look. I mean, there's one photo in the museum of a woman standing at that huge hole in the North Tower. It's the uptown face of it, so it's what would have faced Trump's apartment if he really had been able to see this. You would think that he would, like, Well, that's the building was facing where I was looking. That's what I saw. There's that woman. Who was she? You know, she was in the Centrone, and she was working as a receptionist because she needed to add to the income from the family florist. And she's up there, so you'd think you'd look at that. Corey Lewandowski, who everybody knocks, you know, was the former campaign manager. Everybody thinks is an attack dog. He actually, one of the people in the museum noted that he actually did stop and was moved by a picture, and it turned out it was one of his best friends.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because I want to be fair here, in the sense that you have two candidates, each New York. They've each talked about 9/11 in personal terms. They've each used it, frankly, in their campaign. Hillary Clinton ran videos about it at the DNC. You're a New York reporter, and I know you've reported on first responders. And I mean, what is her record like?
Well, I mean, for me, my personal encounters, yeah. I mean, on the good side, she really did lose a good friend. At 9/11, that was Father Michael Judge, who was the fire chaplain, who was killed in the North Tower. She had to become friends with him because at the White House prayer breakfast back in September of, I think, 1998, the Star report's coming out, and they say, we're going to put next to the First Lady when they're talking about Monica, right? So they call up Brian O'Dwyer in New York and say, don't worry, I got just the priest for you. So
they had started
Michael with, goes down there. He sits next to her. Right, and Bill Clinton starts talking about forgiveness and the power of, you know, all this and this, and everybody's saying, "Oh, I hope this priest don't talk to her about forgiveness." Right, Michael starts talking about what a great place to be, how exciting this must be. I hope you don't mind. I stole some towels out of the bathroom because I want to bring them back to the homeless people up in New York. And next thing you know, he's got the First Lady laughing, and he's saying to her how wonderful it is to be here, and how wonderful it must be for her to be there.
And we should know this chaplain is famous, and there's a famous photo of him, actually.
It's like the modern Pietà.
Yeah, coming out of the rubble. And she also, I mean, and then politically there was a fight to get funding afterwards, right?
I mean, there was. I mean, the other positive thing for her, if Jimmy Boyle, who was head of the fire union, who lost his son, I mean, I saw him right after the North Tower came. His son got killed a couple hundred feet from where Jimmy was standing. And he will tell you that she was always there for the families and that she was always there for the votes they needed in Congress. The negative side, if you want to kind of look around to be as balanced as you possibly can, that as the Democratic convention was approaching, Jimmy Boyle got a call saying, what do you think about her? And he said, well, she was great. He said, would you make a video? He said, sure. Would you come down and appear at the convention? He said, sure. And then he said, but you'd have to fly me down. And they said, wait a minute, your cell phone's a New York number. He said, well, actually, I moved up to Rochester. You'd have to fly me down. Oh, we'll get back to you. And no one ever called him back. So you don't slight Jimmy Boyle.
Yeah.
You do not do that in the city of New York. He is a sainted man. You don't do that.
Michael Daly, what a pleasure it is to have you here and listen to your recollections.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Hey there, I'm Chris Hayes from MSNBC. Thanks for watching MSNBC on YouTube. If you want to keep up to date with the videos we're putting out, you can click subscribe just below me or click over on this list to see lots of other great videos.
Okay, I'm back. I hope you can hear me now. We were having some technical difficulties, and as of right now, I don't know where we left off.
I am on now. Good evening, good evening. I thought
Excellent.
I was being extra out tonight.
Oh, my. No.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I did, I played a clip just a few minutes before I start, I talked for about 7 or 8 minutes after the clip, so I'm
right.
hoping that this was not an empty show, and maybe it was just that last little bit that got cut off. So welcome.
Sure. Well, what was the clip? What was the clip? I'm anxious to hear.
Okay, the clip. It was actually it was Jim Acosta. And there were two clips back to back. One of them, he was talking to Anderson Cooper, and they were talking about how can you tell if we're supposed to believe that Donald Trump's Twitter account and his tweets. We were told by Sean Spicer for how long, months? They speak for themselves. They speak for themselves. We were told on the campaign trail that this will not be a president who makes policy via Twitter. And then we're told that Twitter, his tweets are his policy. Now the White House is stonewalling, and we're not getting, our reporters are not getting any answers about anything, on camera, off camera. Now they can't get answers to questions when they are just recording the audio. So that's problematic. And Donald Trump, Anderson Cooper and Jim Acosta were playing a clip of Kellyanne Conway on Fox and Friends, tossing some verbal salad about these tweets and whether or not we should believe Donald Trump, what he says in his Twitter account or not. Because, of course, he tweeted out that he was under investigation and sent out Jay Sekulow on all the Sunday shows to tell everyone he was not under investigation. So we don't know. We don't know.
Well, it's a new day in our country, Miss Rihanna, but it's very interesting what we see from day to day. And we're being X'd out of what is going on in our country. So hopefully somebody somewhere is tracking our history, and 10, 12, 20 years from now, when our young folk, our offsprings, your children, and my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, will know exactly what went on in 2017 in this country, in Washington, D.C. But right now, it looks like we're being X'd out of the news. So I understand there was no audio and no cameras invited in today. I think Sean Spicer was having. And by the way, speaking of Sean, he may be regrouped and going someplace else, I understand, or going period. But I understand that he may have a new job, or somebody else may take that job pretty soon. We'll see when it happens.
Somebody
but
hired
before
him?
We really excuse me, I'm sorry.
Oh, I said somebody else hired him?
I think the same person hired him. He just, I understand, I heard on the news today that perhaps he may get moved into the White House to work.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
So that's what I said. So that remains to be seen. Go ahead, Ms. Rihanna.
Oh, I'm baffled. I'm baffled because it seems to me that you wouldn't have much of a career left after choosing to go and work with this White House. But it makes more sense if he's just being rearranged into some other position with the same group of folks.
Sure. Well, Ms. Rihanna, if you will allow me, before we get deep into the show, we want to offer our condolences to Mr. Rayford Calloway on the loss of his brother. His brother was found two mornings ago. Let me think, which morning was it? Saturday morning, early Saturday morning, they found his brother had passed away. And so our sympathy goes out to Mr. Calloway and the family, the Calloway family.
Yeah.
On the demise of his brother. We're saddened for him. His brother was actually younger than Mr. Calloway himself. So so many deaths, as well as a very dear friend of our family, and actually, as a matter of fact, best friends to Professor Ray, that was on A View from the Top, as you know, her very, very dear friend, passed away on yesterday as well. So our sympathy goes out to those two families on the demise of their loved ones. Mm-hmm. But also,
absolutely.
I want to announce, Ms. Rihanna, we're really excited for all of those people that live in Texas. As you know, we're having a statewide town hall meeting right here in Tyler, Texas. The Coalition of Black Democrats, actually, the East Texas chapter is the host chapter of the Texas Coalition of Black Democrats. and people from all across Texas will be leading into Tyler, Texas. I said all roads lead to Tyler, Texas, for that town hall meeting. That's this Saturday, the 24th, here in Tyler at the Liberty Baptist Church. It's going to be from 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And let me tell you what, everybody needs to be here for that. We're going to have a forum of pastors and preachers and ministers, and then we're going to have another forum of all females, and then another forum of all males, and we're going to talk about all the various and sundry things that are affecting us in this country, and particularly we want to focus on some of the things that the people here in East Texas are experiencing. This event's going to feature some statewide candidates, elected candidates, pastors, preachers, law enforcement, community activists, just to name a few. Sheriffs, as you know, we have two female sheriffs that I know about in Texas, and Ms. Lupe Valdez of Dallas County was invited, and then Ms. Zena Stevens of Jefferson County, that's in Beaumont, Texas, was also invited. That's a Hispanic female and a African-American female who hold the positions of sheriff in the state of Texas.
Nice.
Great citizens throughout Texas, and anybody and everybody is invited. We're going to have some really, really great people who are going to talk about the various issues that we're experiencing, some of the concerns such as jobs and education, mass incarceration, the water supply in America. We know what happened out there in Flint, Michigan, but we're finding out that we're experiencing some issues with our water right here in Tyler, Texas. And then we're going to talk about Social Security and Medicare and homelessness and issues that affect veterans, college debt, immigration, just everything that's going on right now in the country. We're going to talk about it and deal with it, and then see how there will be people there on location that can register you to vote. There will be perhaps some other vendors that will have displays of things there. It's going to be an awesome day here in Tyler, Texas. So we're encouraging people from all across Texas to come on, as they say, come on down, come on into East Texas, and let's just bring your questions and what you're really concerned about and what is affecting you. Because that's what's important, is what is actually affecting people individually. And, of course, we want Blog Talk USA to broadcast live.
We will.
Yes, Mr. Dunny Walker will be on location. We have several radio stations that's going to be on location. The television stations have been invited. And we invited that our representative for the first district, and we want him to know we're going to have we'll have security. We'll have police officers out there to make sure that people are protected and are safe, so he can come on and answer some questions for us, because we're going to make sure that he is protected. And some of the questions, Ms. Rihanna, that we will talk about is if, in fact, because we know that is a sad thing for people in this country, elected lawmakers can be out on a baseball field and have to run for their lives. Somebody open a weapon on them. So we'll talk about the fact that they should have security, should or should not have security, and obviously it becomes more dangerous. We know what happened to Gabby Gifford when she was out campaigning or speaking to her constituents. So we want to make sure that people can serve this country and feel safe about it. And so some of the questions will be, okay, so should they have security? Obviously, they should have security. But the question here, who will pay for that security? Should that money come from the resources that the taxpayers have already placed in their hands, or should more money be added to their kitty that we're already taking care of them, or should they rearrange their funding so that they can pay for it with the money that's already there, or should they personally pay for their security? Should that be one of the things that they should do for themselves? So whatever the case may be, it will all be discussed. And so we're just looking forward to having all the people to come. And we encourage the ministers and pastors and preachers and to come on out and share that information with them. One of the questions that I have is that, So we know the work that Dr. Martin Luther King did. He was a preacher.
Yeah.
And so how is it that you can continue as a preacher? How will you be able to, what is it that you can do for this country to be able to continue the work that Dr. Martin Luther King started for us? And Miss Rosa Parks and many others, that's just a couple, but there's plenty other people that have done great works in this country to make this a great place to live. So how are we going to continue the things that our ancestors have already done for us and this country in order to make it a great place in which to live? So once again, that's next Saturday, the 24th of June this month. And the address is let me tell you, the address of Liberty Baptist Church. It's really for those that have ever lived in Tyler, Texas, or been in Tyler, Texas, it's really easy to find. It's 2506 North Broadway Avenue right here in Tyler, Texas, 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And it's just right inside the Loop, Loop 323 on the north side of the Loop at Loop 323 and North Broadway. Very, very easy to find. It's right in the middle of right in the middle of the Loop, North Loop, and Martin Luther King Boulevard. So we look forward to having everybody to come right on out and spend the day, spend those 3 hours, and bring your questions with you. Thank you for allowing me to do that, Ms. Rihanna.
Oh, my goodness, no. And we are happy to be broadcasting the event as well. And
yes.
I know that my co-host from Tuesday nights, Michael Hanley, will be there.
Yeah,
and he's excited.
Exciting. I'm so excited to have Mr. Michael Handel. I'm glad you brought that up to be here with us. We're also going to have a representative from Mike Collier's campaign headquarters. He actually will be in Brenham, Texas on that day, but he's sending a representative to represent his campaign. And then, of course, Beto O'Rourke was going to be coming, but with all of these things that are going on in Washington, D.C., I'm sure there will be a representative that will come and speak on his behalf as well.
Yes.
So there was each one, there's actually 12, 13 counties in East Texas. We're going to have representatives from Austin, from the Texas Democratic Party out of Austin. So there's representatives from various pockets all throughout Texas. It's going to be a big day for us.
Awesome. And Ron Spikes might have something to add right here. Let me get your line open.
Thank you. Love to have Chief come on in. And let's just say the number one person that will be broadcasting that event is obviously Blog Talk USA Radio. Good evening, Mr. Chief Ron Spikes.
Oh, I'm trying, Ron. Sorry. One second. Nobody should put me in charge of this soundboard. Haven't you guys figured this out yet?
That's no problem. No problem. Just so happened Dr. McKellar called me, and I got on the soundboard myself. But I was trying to wait and see if I could do it myself. But anyway, I just want to tell you, Dr. McKellar, thank you for putting out all that news. And just in case anybody's listening, the person that she's talking about, she invited, was Louis Gohmert. I know she didn't want to call his name, but I'll call it. So he will need security.
Okay.
He will need security. I just have to say he will need security because I don't think
he
wants to answer too many questions.
No.
And
well,
plus, he doesn't want to be in the same area with Dr. McKellar.
Is that right? Well, I'm going to be moderating it, so I'm afraid he'll be there in the same area with McKellar because I'm the president of the East Texas chapter of the Coalition of Black Democrats. So I will be the moderator. And but I'm very kind. I don't bite. But I do expect answers, but I don't bite. But yes, he
absolutely.
Tyler's finest, the Tyler PD, Tyler Police Department, they'll make sure that we're all safe. And then those that need a snack, we're going to have We're going to have vendors set up because I believe in pushing and supporting small businesses. So we'll have small business people out there so you can get your hot dogs and your sodas if you drink those and your water and your chips and whatever. We'll have the Hispanic group is going to have tamales and tacos. So bring a few dollars and you'll get to have some nice little snacks at break time, because we'll have a little break in between where people can dialogue and talk to some of the elected officials from the various counties. So we're pretty excited about it, Chief Spike.
Well, it sounds like it's a winner in all phases, because it's all about trying to get the word out. And as you said earlier, they're shutting down communications from Washington, D.C. And if Sean Spicer runs to the hills, I wonder who's going to replace him. It's like nobody wants to be involved with this guy from D.C. now.
Yes, sir. We have people coming out of Houston, Texas. We have people coming out of, wish you could be here, Chief. We have people coming out of El Paso. We have people coming out of Midland, Odessa area, Fort Worth, Dallas, all throughout East Texas. So all roads lead to East Texas, Tyler, Texas. Yes, sir.
So everybody's coming to Tyler, and everybody's showing up there, and Mike's going to be there, and sound like you got a pretty good crowd. I'm going to have to see what's on my agenda. Yeah, I'm going to have to see what's on my agenda.
We'd love you. Oh, we'd love to have you in East Texas. I mean, it would just would be amazing to have the chief. And we're hoping Ms. Tawana Cadian was invited as one of the panelists, and hopefully that she will be able to break away and get on down to East Texas. So it's going to be some great people. Invite some judges. We actually invited Judge Frederica Phillips from out of Houston. We have some millennials that's going to be speaking. I mean, we have across the board. We have not left any stones unturned. We have invited all age groups to be here and all professions to be here to talk to us on various and sundry issues. It's going to be great. I'm excited.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. We got some veterans that's going to be on the panel, some veterans out of Dallas, some veterans out of East Texas. We just have covered everything that some union people, everybody that can help us to figure out what we need to do in 2018 to move this country forward. Yes. So,
Dr. McKellar, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
What do we need to do in 2018 to move this country forward? Because as you listen to everybody else, nobody has a definite answer. And it's like, I don't think this country's ever been in a position where it's at right now. I really don't. So my question to you is, what do we need to do to move this country
and
forward?
And I agree with you that I have, as long as I've lived, I have not seen some of the things going on that I see going on right now. But I can tell you where we can begin. And we can begin by learning to work together as a unit. We can begin by learning to respect one another. We talk about the golden rule, and you hear people talking about do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's something we're not treating each other with the dignity and respect that we should have for one another. If we could start right there, and I say let's start at the basics. Those are the basics, and we can also, Chief, agree to disagree. We're never going to agree on every single thing. I say this all the time, and Ms. Rihanna can attest to this. I say to Ms. Rihanna and Minnie, I said, you know, if you've been married any length of time, you know that you're not going to agree with every single thing that your spouse says. But I can tell you this unequivocally. You support your spouse 100%. Mm-hmm. So we as a country need to start supporting each other and figure out what we can do for the greater good of the masses of people. We're never going to please 100% of the people. And
right.
I say this about disrespect for this simple reason, that every single thing that we see that the former president, 44, has worked toward in this country to help people, to ensure more people. Then we see 45 working to undo every single thing that was done. It's not about trying to undo the work that someone else has done. It's about trying to make that work better. There are some things that need to change with healthcare, as we know. We can look at the drug program, for example, and how much money that people pay for buying their prescription. Well, let's improve on what we have already accomplished, not trying to undo everything that has already been done and trying to start all over. Why reinvent the wheel when the wheel is already has spokes? Let's just add some more spokes and make the wheel better. So those are some of the immediate and main things, Chief, that I can see that we need to do to begin with. This is not, say this all the time as well, this is not a divided country, or at least it should not be. You and I serve the United States of America, and many veterans who are listening to this program tonight, we all serve the United States of America. And when you're in the foxhole and when you're out there on the battlefield and when you're out there in the tent, you don't ask anybody, are you a Republican or are you a Democrat? We are all Americans fighting for the same mission. And so I don't see us fighting for the same mission right now, and that's why there's so much division right now in this country, in my opinion, Chief.
I agree with you. I think that one of the things, one of the most powerful things that we have to be able to do is communicate. And as we communicate, I think that, that we need to understand that, like you said, that not everybody's going to agree to the same terms. But if you can get a few people to just sway their minds, because what they're doing with this country is that they're put they're actually counterproductive to their own party.
That's exactly the
part that's scary. They're counterproductive to their own party. They're putting their party members in a position where they don't really want to be. And I've never seen that in America. I don't care who was in control or who ruled this country in the past. I've never seen anybody try to go counterproductive of their own party. And that's the scary part of everything. And as I listen to Rihanna talk, I just sometimes you just have to step back and say, is this the U.S. of A, or am I living in a third world country?
Yes. I agree with you 100%. And it looks like we are living in a third world country. I mean, we see some things that are better in other parts of the world than we see right here in our own country. And we're supposed to be the leading nation in the world.
Yeah.
But until, and you hit the nail on the head with the C word, until we communicate better, and until we, we have to be great servants. It's not about us. We got to remove ourselves and put the bulk of the people that we're serving to the forefront. And therein lies the difference, Chief, in a leader and a manager. Management and leadership are two different things. And we also have to see that this, you cannot run the government the same way you run a corporation. It's just not the same. So a person who is a leader would really understand that in comparison to a person that is in management. There's nothing, both of those are great positions, but it's almost like the leader and then the management is the follower that follows what the leadership has to say. Well, in the meantime, from my observation of what I'm seeing every single day out of Washington, D.C., it's management instead of leadership, if you're tracking me and following what I'm saying.
Yes, I agree with you. I think that as you said, you cannot put this country in a position of a business, because the business either fails or goes forward with your initiative. In this case, case, your initiative doesn't mean anything because you have to sway people to come on board and understand and have dialogue with people and persuade them to come follow you. But it doesn't seem like that's happening at all anymore because they go out to he's basically listening to the media. The media tells him something, and he goes out and he tweets it. Then he as much as I don't like Sean Spicer, I have to say he has the hardest job in the world because he has a man that doesn't support him behind him, and he comes out and contradicts everything that he says, and then he tries to cover for him, and then he'll come out and say, no, that's not what I was saying. So, you know, I don't like the guy, and I think that he doesn't like his position either. So it's probably best for him to move on because you can read his face where you couldn't read his face at first, but now he's just like,
he's very
y'all can ask me whatever y'all want to ask me. Y'all might as well just walk on up to that White House and ask them because whatever I say, he gonna change it against me. So anyway, Dr. McKellar, I thank you for engaging, and I'm gonna sit here and listen because I'm just as dumbfounded as everybody else on this. At one time, we had the answers. We could move forward. But I don't know. I mean, until we actually have another election process in this country, I don't know where we stand. Mm-hmm.
That's true. And I think a lot of people are feeling that way. You know, it is if we didn't begin, we didn't put first things first, and we didn't begin with the end. I mean, we just don't know where we'd begin. Mm-hmm. If we didn't begin at the beginning and we somewhere near the end or in the middle before we even got started, if that makes sense. We didn't get first things first is what I'm trying to say, I guess. I know that's what I'm trying to say. And so so I can understand, if we feel the way we feel about things not going awry, can you imagine how Sean Spicer feels? I have a lot of compassion for him, and I have a lot of compassion for all the people that are working. I mean, 100 and some days, and we got so much confusion going on right now. It's just a sad.
Many of them believed in what he said on the campaign trail. A lot of us didn't. A lot of us saw right through it, so it may be harder for some of us to understand. But the people who believed in him, really believed in him, and believed when he took up the mantle of their cause, of the forgotten people, and their cause, and regular, everyday, average, working folks, the ones that believed in that message really did believe it. And now that they're on the inside, and this is an actual administration with a unified Republican government that is supposed to be able to get that agenda that they believed in so much done, no problem. Well, they found out that you can't really fake it when you're president. You can't pretend like you understand legislation and like you really care enough to read a bill. You can't pretend and get by with any of this. You can't convince people who know you're full of it. And, you know, people like Sean Spicer, I believe, you know, he wasn't a Johnny come lately. He was on board with the Trump train for a while before they won.
Right. Right.
So there's obviously he believed in this man and in the message and being on the inside and being told day one of his new job, go out there and lie and tell those people that the crowd they saw was larger than it was. He was doomed. It's no wonder he looks so deflated.
Right. Right. Well, we just keep a powerful prayer thought out that things will level off after a little while. That we'll be back on track. It remains that we wake up each morning wondering what's going to happen next, and that's been the consensus of people that I've talked to everywhere I go, just interviewing people and talking to them, and and just wanting to know what their feelings are, because people have become very frustrated. They think they're going to lose health care. They think they're going to lose
right.
this. They're going to lose that. They're going to have to pay more money out of their Social Security for various and sundry things, and it should not be. I mean, I'm talking about senior citizens who are barely making ends meet to begin with in the first place, and
yes.
they think that they're going to lose some of their Social Security. A lot of unrest going on with
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to mention, just to switch gears a little bit, the young man that was released out of Korea, was it North Korea, that passed away today?
Yeah.
I mean, only about a couple or so days after he arrived home, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He hasn't been home
Absolutely.
Very long. So our prayers go out to that family, too. They finally got him home and then to lose him. But, you know, I'm so thankful that he made it back to his own American soil so that the people would not, their family would not be in disarray of trying to be concerned with even getting him home if he had passed away over in Korea. So I didn't know if you had heard that on the news, obviously. And then, of course, the seven sailors that died out there on the USS Fitzgerald. And let me just say, one of my little Sunday school students was on that ship. He's safe and have been moved on. But he was one of the sailors that was on that ship as well.
Oh my goodness.
So, a lot of things going on in the country. A lot of things in the world.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the young man Otto Warmbier, who was in North Korea, from what I understand, he did not come home in good shape.
True.
He came home in
bad shape, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. I think they called it a wakeful comatose state or something like that. But there was like no response to stimulus.
Right.
He was well nourished. But he had been in that condition since at least April of 2016. So he likely didn't know that he was in that state and detained and all of that. You know, I hate to look for silver linings in cases like that, but at least there's that. That his family, in the end, knew what had happened, because that, when you just have no clue, I would imagine that kind of closure is a blessing, just to know.
Yeah.
And to see him one more time, and then to know that he was unaware of his own condition for the last year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's really sad. Fine-looking young man. He was a student, right, at the University of Virginia?
Yes. He was young. He was a young college student, 17.
Yes. He was how old, 18?
He was, I think, 18, 17 when he was detained.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because I believe he was fresh out of high school, just going into college when that happened, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And he was from Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's kind of sad.
So, and it would be nice to give this administration some kudos, because I know they worked doggedly to get him home. So there's that.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, supposedly, let's dialogue a little bit on that. Supposedly he was accused of removing a sign. Was that what it was?
Yes, a poster.
A poster.
You're not allowed to do that there, because the entire country is, when you're selling a home, an empty home, sometimes people will get, they'll stage the home so that it looks like somebody lives there, and often spaces look better with furnishings. North Korea is like a staged apartment, especially Pyongyang. It's all propaganda. Everything, it's perception.
they do not, they're a hermit nation, and, you know, they don't participate in the global kind of goings-on, and they don't want anybody in their business, because then we'd find out that they're, you know, they're borderline in famine most of the time. The deer leader or whatever doesn't manage things well at all, and you know, the North and the South split, what, 50, 60 years ago, yet in the North, the average height and weight is a significant percentage smaller than the South. These are the same
right.
folks, and it's because there's very little food, there's very little,
right.
you know, the human rights violations that go on there are just horrendous. Hundreds of thousands of people living in hard labor camps, concentration camps,
yeah.
because you can be in prison for things like touching a poster, because
right.
most of the posters have some form of propaganda on them about how great their dear leader is.
Right.
So, you know, if your home is staged, you don't touch anything. No, let's touch anything. I mean, there's like plastic food in the grocery store windows.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's all to make the rest of the world think they're doing okay, and they're not doing okay at all.
Well, they go from forced labor all the way to torture, to murder, right? I mean,
oh,
and not to mention, not to mention the starvation that you talked about, but they were told that he was fed and he was taken care of and he was just fine, but obviously we can see what it was like. It's just systematic cruelty.
Absolutely.
I mean, it just makes no sense, right?
That's
the point that I – go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that the punishment for things, if you're a citizen there, the punishment goes up and down three generations. So it's not just you that gets in trouble. There are people who are born in these camps because – their parent or grandparent committed some, you know, slight offense, and that's their existence. It's a generational punishment for three generations. I mean, it's just incredible. It's incredibly cruel.
Yes, I it's scary to even think about it, isn't it?
It is. It is. Mm-hmm. Well, and Thought crimes. Actually, that's a thing there. If you're thinking, is suspected of thinking something that is not acceptable, that can be, they can round up your family and take you all to concentration camps. And that's it. There's no fairness. There's no judge and jury. There's for show. This guy went through a trial. We all remember the pictures of him just devastated when he found out that he was going to be forced, you know, forced into hard labor. He was crying. I don't blame him at all. But it's all for show. He didn't actually get a real trial. It's not like he had a lawyer who, you know, there aren't legal codes that you can fight a case by. It's, you know, it is what it is. And if you do something
right.
like what he did, you're going to a prison camp.
Exactly. So he actually took the poster off the wall. Is that right?
I believe so. Let me pull that up and I'll tell you.
Okay.
They haven't talked about the details in a good year, and I'll tell you wrong, I'm sure. And then I want to tell you about after we get off this topic, I want to tell you about a good article in Teen Vogue having to do with my boyfriend, Bill O'Reilly, and Jeff Sessions and Kamala Harris. It's a really good article. Okay. Here's what he did. Otto Warmbier. He was a student. He went to Pyongyang. They just opened up North Korea in this way recently. Like, we weren't allowed to go there forever. And once they got Pyongyang all staged up and looking like a somewhat normal city, they don't know what normal is, so it doesn't really look normal, but a somewhat normal city, people started going and visiting.
Right.
And so we've started learning more and more about North Korea, and something that we've learned from the very beginning of people being able to visit is that they have really, really strict rules about what you can film, what you can't film, who you can speak to, you know, all these things. And so this guy, he was 22 years old. I'm sorry, 22 years old at the time of his death. And he went to Pyongyang in 2016. Here's his family statement from today quickly, and then I'll move on to what he did. His family said, "It would be easy at a moment like this to focus on all that we lost, future time that won't be spent with a warm, engaging, brilliant young man whose curiosity and enthusiasm for life knew no bounds. But we choose to focus on the time we were given to be with this remarkable person. You can tell from the outpouring of emotion from communities that he touched, Wyoming, Ohio, and the University of Virginia, that the love for Otto went well beyond his immediate family." Okay, the University of Virginia student was sentenced to 15 years of prison and hard labor for allegedly stealing a political propaganda poster from his Pyongyang hotel in January. He returned to his home, Cincinnati, Ohio, on June 13th in a coma after being brutalized and terrorized by the pariah regime, his family said. He was unable to speak, unable to see, unable to react to verbal command, and he looked very uncomfortable, almost anguished, they said. He would never hear his voice, although we would never hear his voice again. Within a day, the countenance of his face changed, and he was at peace. Okay, so he died of natural causes, they said. And I suspect that the doctors didn't want to talk about his future and prognosis. And at that point, I was beginning to suspect it could be that his family removed, because of his anguished look, once the doctors were able to get him comfortable, it could be that his family went ahead and removed, because he wasn't on ventilation. He was on feeding. So they could have possibly removed that and just allowed him to go, which is what you would do if you had if you did have a DNR and had to be on a feeding tube. Wouldn't that be what, if you called in hospice, they would just remove that feeding tube?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Because I just don't want to give him the impression. Yeah. Keep them very comfortable. But it's not like you're starving someone to death. I this is my speculation. I threw it out there, and now I feel bad. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Yeah. Well, you know, you can live quite a few days without food.
Yes. Very true.
Yeah. But
his family's at peace now.
It's sad however it went, right?
Yes. Stealing a poster, and I'm sure he just thought it was the most ridiculous thing he'd ever seen, because all of their posters are like from the 1950s. They are stuck in the 1950s and the Korean War. It's always like some, you know, United 1950s, 40s or 50s style United States plane or ship in flames with a bunch of North Koreans standing over it screaming, "You American bastards," and, you know, "Death to America." And I'm sure it was something like that. That really is what these people see every day, is that sort of imagery.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So sad. See how blessed we are to live in a country that we don't have to endure things such as that. That's why we should appreciate and respect one another and get along better than what we're doing right now, because at least we know that we don't have to endure things such as that, that some people experience in parts of the world.
Right. Absolutely. Well, even, you know, Ted Nugent, I'm sure everybody knows who he is. If they don't know him from his music, then they know what a horrible, horrible, just a horrible person he was to President Obama. And, you know, he spent 8 years saying the worst things that you could imagine about our first family, our president, our first lady, and about Democrats in general. And after the incident on the baseball field, Ted Nugent, of all people, here I am, I have to give him props again. He came out and said that this has really made him give himself a thorough look in the mirror. And
oh, wow.
That
is that
he,
right?
Absolutely. Yes, I couldn't believe it. He said, we are all Americans, and no American should ever be hunted down and shot because of what they believe politically. And that means no Democrat should ever be threatened or harassed or shot at. So we've got to watch the way we talk to one another. I mean, I couldn't believe it.
I'm impressed with that.
I am too.
I don't even know what to say because I can reflect back. So, and it's sad that it took Republicans being fired upon for him to realize and recognize this because it's been that way all along. It should have been that way all along. That's what I meant by the fact of how we disrespect one another. No one should have ever had baseball is as normal as apple pie in America, right? We all live. I love baseball. And it's really sad that you can't go out on an open baseball field and enjoy the sport and be concerned with somebody firing a weapon at you. It just makes no sense that we disrespect each other so much in that way. And that's what I meant, Ms. Rihanna, by the fact that we don't agree on every single thing because why? We all have different DNAs. We all have different brain cells. God made us that way, and he didn't make us all to think identically the same way. So just because I don't agree with every single thing that you say and or do does not mean that I have any cause, I shouldn't take a weapon to you. That's not going to make me change my mind. Just because you killed me, or shoot at me, I should say. I mean, it just baffles me that these kinds of things are happening. And they're happening one after the other after the other. And that's why I continue to say that it starts at the top. And now it used to be it started at the top when President Obama was in office. But now that President Trump is in office, it doesn't start at the top with some people. Well, no, it's still how we present right back to that leadership that I was talking about. You know, we can make a big difference in the world if we present ourselves in a certain way. Correct.
Yes.
I'm your president and I'm misusing, abusing, and battering, talking about people and saying ugly things, then the rest of the membership may end up doing the same thing, right? They may, you know, associations sometimes bring about a worse. There you go. And so, we gotta do better at this.
Dr. McKellar, the problem is that when you start going down that road, it's hard to pull back the reins and say stop. And once Donald Trump went down that road, he couldn't pull back the reins and say, well, he already had an organization that was heading in that direction. But now what's happening, it seems, is that his – and I hate to go back to it, but his Republicans are saying, you know what, I'm in a position that I don't want to be in. Even on health care and everything else that they're trying to push, they are in a position where they really don't want to be in. They have to go back and face those people. And I think that this is a time where we have to realize that we, as a nation, we have to change that. At this point, it's not about being a Democrat or Republican. It's about being American and protecting our way of life.
Yes, sir. Individuals, one person at a time, make the change, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Right. We got to take it personally. You're exactly correct. You're right. And I like what you said. Once you go down that road, it's really hard to put the brakes on and pull back and start all over again. Because it's out there. And it's been out there for almost 2 years. 2 years.
And you're talking about 2 years, but here's something else, and I think I texted Rihanna about this.
you know, we're talking about all of this, but basically all it seems like all of this is just a cover up for Flynn. They really don't want Flynn to testify. They're trying to stop Flynn from testifying, because I think that if Flynn actually testified, the whole Republican regime will fall flat on his face. And I hate to say it, because you know what's funny? Because here's Flynn. He calls the Russians right after the President Obama did his thing, and then the Russians called off whatever they had going that they could have did. And they never have done that in the past. It's always been tit for tat. But, you know, and I told Rihanna this, and I'll share this with anybody that's out there listening. Pence knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pence knew.
Of course.
About
he did.
Everything that's he did. Going on. What the Absolutely. Republican Party is doing is trying to save face. And see, they're trying to cover up everything. All the rest of this stuff, Spicer and all the rest of this stuff, these tweets and all the rest of this. Pence knew, Trump knew, because Trump didn't have a tie back to the political party. If you think about it, he didn't have that direct tie back. The only one that had the direct tie back was Pence to the Republican Party. So I'm not the smartest person in the world, but if you sit back and you look, and when they start throwing it out there in the mainstream media, that's when they start throwing out all kind of other garbage that was coming out. And Trump tweeted out that I'm under investigation and all. No, it's the whole regime up there. I hope this guy
his
job. Does his job and takes on the whole thing, the whole kid and caboodle, and doesn't do the, what do they like to say in Washington, the Potomac two-step?
Like we used to have the Texas two-step here. Well, I tell you what, Chief, 45 decides that he wants to fire Mueller. It's all over.
Yes, it is. That's an open
that
and shut up obstruction of justice case right there.
Very all over. It's all over. And that's what he wants to do. And then you have 200 Democratic Congress persons that have filed a lawsuit against him on the emolument clause. You remember we talked, how long had we talked about that way back when?
Before he was elected, for sure.
Oh, my goodness. There was a lot of things
selected
that actually, that could take him away, take him out of this position.
That's a credible lawsuit.
They're just really kind of ignore. I don't know if they're ignoring or not. I can't really say that because, you know, we only know what we see on the TV and what we hear and we hear the pundits say and so forth. But I think they're stacking the deck.
Oh yeah. They've known we forget because every day there's so much thrown out at us, and you know we forget. I think a lot of us can easily forget what happened 3 days ago, 4 days ago, let alone 6 months ago. So if we think about, you know, think back to while the campaign was going, these Republicans who are sticking by him right now didn't have good things to say about him. There were a lot of them who were never Trumpers, but now they're with him in lockstep. And to me, you know, that just says that they've got something in their back pocket, too, if they were a never-Trumper. We've all got something in our back pocket. And if you are not outwardly against him, if you're going along with him and you're just holding on to that card, you know, and you're a Republican in an elected position, you know, that's a lot of them. That's got to be a lot of them, I really think.
Yeah.
And we just what we know about and think about what they must know about. People have some stuff on him that can easily get rid of him. They like Pence. They know that, you know, they can probably just get rid of Trump whenever they're done with him and take Pence. And they wanted to wait until they got their tax cuts. But when they find that they're not going to get their tax cuts, they're all going to start reaching for their back pockets to pull that card. Yes.
Yeah. Pull that Trump card. No pun intended.
Absolutely. Because they just, if they were with him from the beginning, but no. A lot of these people were saying, he's not even a Republican. And, oh, this isn't going to happen. You know, they were not okay with him. It's weird that they're okay with him now.
Right.
You know, it's funny because as we look at Trump and we see him in office and we look at the things that he's doing, and if it would have been President Obama, he would have been gone a long time ago. If it would have been George Bush, he would have been gone a long time ago. If it would have been close to Bill Clinton, he would have been gone a long time ago. They would have been running the flags up everywhere. But it's something, let me just say this, it's something about money and people in positions that have the ability to manipulate other people.
If Trump was
totally broke, we wouldn't be having this discussion. He'd be out on this rear end. But Trump is not totally broken. He surrounded himself with people that had to pay for favors throughout their life to get stuff done. So they have blackmail material on a lot of these Republicans that you've been speaking about, Rihanna.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Good point.
Definitely.
Well, I tell you what, Chief, when they subpoena those financial records and see where in Russia this money came from that is probably in Trump's bank accounts. When it looks like there may be some laundering of money, I'm not saying that it is. I say if it looks like, because there's a reason they want those financial papers. Trust me.
Right. That's right.
There's a reason. And they're going for them. And he's not going to be able to fight that.
No. No, he won't. Well, and they don't just look at last year's tax returns. They're going to look at a pattern of bankruptcies after bankruptcy after bankruptcy after daddy co-signing, daddy co-signing, daddy bailing out. And then all of a sudden a relationship with Russia develops and Trump's got job security.
And then the other side. Well, we have never seen anybody as dogmatic as this guy. I mean, we've just never seen anything like it, and it's almost as if these people are afraid of. They don't know what to do. I know they know what to do.
Right.
But here's the deal: in the Constitution, we already know what the job of the main jobs of the president. But this guy is taken on like he can just rule this nation. Period. Well, we already know who's in charge. It's the lawmakers in this country. But that's why people are saying, you see it on Twitter and you can do your job.
That's right.
The reason why they're saying that is because that's who actually runs our country. That's who makes, I mean, aside from foreign policy and making that budget once a year, that's about it for the president.
Yes.
Harry Truman, and I say this frequently, he says, if I had known that the President of the United States was just a glorified secretary, I probably wouldn't have never run. So we don't have any real power. All we do is kiss babies and shake hands and bury veterans, bury warriors.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you President Trump has not done any of that, and I don't understand the reason why he's still in office, because he doesn't know how to play secretary. He doesn't know how to kiss babies, and I wouldn't want to kiss my baby anyway.
No.
That's one of the pictures that might show up for years and years and years to come.
Remember that?
But anyway.
That he was trying to do that, kiss the baby, and that baby was not having it.
And since you showed the video of President Obama, who could just quiet any baby down.
Exactly. Well, babies know exactly
they know
when somebody really, really wants to hold them and be with them and comfort them and give them the love that they so richly deserve. Babies know.
That's right.
They know. Miss Rihanna, to switch your gears a little bit, I have one question.
Yeah.
Where's that Bishop Guillory tonight?
Oh, let me
haven't
look.
Heard
Ron,
a
are you in front of the computer? Let's see if he's on.
I haven't heard
away.
A word. Always
I haven't
looking
either.
For that. Where in the world is Bishop Guillory?
Let's see here. He's not on yet.
He's not on. While you're trying to chase.
I,
Go ahead, Chief.
I could truly say that he's probably doing something with everything that's going on in this world. And since he's a Republican, he has a lot of ground to cover. Let me just say that. I haven't heard him say that in a while.
He's got a big job, doesn't he?
Yeah. He has to defend. He has a big position to defend. So in his defense, I say he has a lot of ground to cover.
Absolutely. Well, let me just say, I want to congratulate, if I can switch gears one more time, congratulate the African-Americans out there in Wills Point, Texas. First Sergeant, I don't know if First Sergeant is on tonight or not, but First Sergeant and I were out there in Wills Point, Texas at the Carthage High School. It was the old, I think it was the Rosenwald School, as a matter of fact, African-American school. They placed a historical marker out there today, and we were on the program out there. It was outstanding. We commend Ms. Carlisa Brown, who headed that program up, along with Ms. Dorothy Franks, who assisted with them. And it was just outstanding. All of the various people came back in from the different areas for where they live to celebrate. The elected officials and everybody was there. So if you go on the Elect McKellar Facebook page, you'll see some remnants of the program today. It was outstanding. And this was the real beauty. Let me just share with you that the person who was heading up the program today, and I didn't realize that she came from Wills Point, Texas, which is right between Dallas and Tyler. She was my home economics teacher. And so when I got there and she was the person that was heading up the program and all that, and First Sergeant and I got ready to post the colors and so forth, and she went on to tell them, and I want you all to know that the person who has that flag in her hand over there was one of my former students. So it was a great day to be out there with them and sharing with the great work that they're doing. That school stands and is beautiful. They have made a community center out of it, and they've just done great work out there. So we salute those people from out there in Wills Point, Texas. Even though they no longer live there, they came back to their home to embrace all the great work that Ms. Carlisa Brown is doing and getting that historical marker out there. So I just wanted to make mention of that. So now, with that being said, that was great. Did you find that Bishop Guillory? Obviously not.
Not yet.
Else is going on? What else is going on in the country, Ms. Rihanna? Oh, let me just talk about this a little bit. Talk about celebration today, as we know, was June the 19th, and everybody knows what Juneteenth means here in Texas. And so on Saturday, Chief and Ms. Rihanna and everybody listening, we had the most beautiful parade here in Tyler, Texas, Smith County. There were over 300 entries in that parade. It's called Unity in the Community here, and there was food, let's see, Brookshire, and we thank them, Super One Brookshire Foods, for they always donate a ton of food out there. Everything is giveaway and free, and you see people all up and down the parade route. It was so many people, probably 200,000 people out there, and the parade began there just shy of my old high school campus and proceeded down Martin Luther King into Border Street and then down into Wolder Park, the Glass Center area where we used to go to the park to swim as young kids growing up. And there was food all along, people barbecuing and giving away food. And then every neighborhood, once the parade was over and the program and everything was over, and then people ventured out into their individual neighborhoods and continued their parties over into the evening, late into the evening, with music and dancing in the streets. The streets closed off, and it was just outstanding. I think this is probably the largest one that ever, because, like I said, it was 300 entries. There were so many Corvette Stingrays, Chief, and so many, truckers clubs and motorcycle clubs, and even my son was in with in his on his motorcycle. I mean, it was amazing. And boots were on the ground. We had our vehicles in, and we had the young kids out there passing out material and throwing candy out to the people along the parade route. And it was probably a 3-mile walk, but it was outstanding.
Wow.
So we had a great
yes.
weekend. Outstanding weekend. Mm-hmm. What about you in Houston? What did you guys do down
there? I didn't participate with any of it. To tell you the truth, I had this thing called work that I do when I'm when I'm not doing anything else. So
yeah.
I really didn't get a chance to participate with any of it.
But I
think that Juneteenth is also a part of being able to go to work and make money at the same time and continue to show your effort. Because I tell my kids this all the time, and I'll share this with anybody that's on the radio. Holidays come up every month or once a year. It's 365 days in the year. Show me some love during those times, and I'll be A-OK. So Juneteenth, as far as I'm concerned, is every day. When my eyes open in the morning, it's every day.
Yeah.
Father's Day, Mother's Day is every day.
Yeah,
Christmas is every day. When you start letting them isolate when those days should be. Oh, by the way, while I'm speaking of holidays, and this is just one of those days. It's not every day,
okay.
but happy belated anniversary, Rihanna.
Thank you. Happy belated anniversary, Miss Rihanna. She didn't
Thank
even
you.
Let me know that she celebrated. And happy belated Father's Day, Chief, and to all of those
yes.
fathers that are listening out there. Hope you had a great day on yesterday. Hope Miss Rihanna had a great anniversary day. And you're right. Every day is a holiday. Every day above ground is a holiday, in my opinion. That's how I feel. But we actually, Chief, we went on down from Tyler after the program was kind of over. Then we headed on down to Marshall, Texas. And the beauty of that is that we went out to an area where we got a chance to speak to the people at the community centers, and they were having their domino games, and they call them bones, of course. So the women were beating up on the men pretty good, as a matter of fact. But we went to this plantation where the slaves were on the day that they were notified, Juneteenth, that they were notified of being free here in Texas. And so we got pictures of structures that still remain. They have been preserving some of the cabin-looking structures all of this time. So it was, and then there's the historical marker out there. So it was a pretty fulfilling day. So we celebrated enough for you, because I know some of us got to keep on working, right? You got to keep on making the money for us. Very good. So I hope everybody had a great weekend, though. It was an awesome weekend. So anyways, with that being said, we're almost in. It's nine. That time went by really fast. Well, I guess so, because I missed about 25 minutes of it trying to get in. I thought Miss Rihanna was keeping me out tonight.
Well, no, and if I missed 25 minutes of it too, I apologize. I was trying something new with my microphone and my computer, and I don't know that it worked.
Okay. Well, we'll let you experiment again, and we'll let you get it all ironed out, because on Saturday we want to make sure that everything is in place and ready to go.
Absolutely.
And I know
Absolutely.
Going to do a great job of that. And hopefully you'll get that Bishop in here. What time is his show on Saturday? Maybe you can tune in a little early on and have a few words to say before we kick off on that day.
Oh, I'll let him know. He is not on until Saturday evening at 8 p.m.
Right.
Texas time,
right.
6 p.m.
That's
his
right.
time.
That's right. Yes. Well, I'm going to be coming up next month. We are going to have Alpha, Kappa Alpha is having its leadership conference out in Las Vegas, Nevada. And from there, we'll head on over to see the bishop. So so we'll have to touch bases with him to see if we can coordinate some time to spend to dialogue on some issues and getting ready to kick off and rock and roll all the way into 2018. Lots of work needs to be done in this country, and we're about making sure that that work happens. But we've got to be in office in order to make that happen. We can only do so much right here, but in order to bring some of the bacon down to East Texas, we have to be at that table, and sometimes we got to run the table, right, Ms. Brianna?
That's right. That's absolutely right. It's crucial.
It's crucial. We need some more females running the table.
Yes, 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 yes. And we know why.
I don't mean those tables in Las Vegas.
No.
I mean those political tables.
Yeah, we don't have time for those tables in Las Vegas. We've got to run the show here.
No, we're too cheap to waste our money there.
or
maybe I should say we're too smart to waste our money there, right?
That's it. That's it.
Yes. Well, this has really been great. We've caught up on some things, and we're hoping that we'll get to the end, because the one thing that I can tell you that we don't want to see happen in our country, and that is for Russia and any other country to interfere in our democracy.
And
we see that is what has happened, and we want to make certain that never, ever, ever, did I say ever, happen again.
That's right.
Never happen again. Right. So, with that being said, we look forward to seeing you again on tomorrow night. Ms. Rihanna, I know it's 9:58 by my time. I don't know if you have any other comments or anything you want to cover in this last couple of minutes. And if so, then I'm going to get off and I'm going to work on some more paperwork and get all set up and ready to make sure that we have everything, every I and dotted and every T crossed, so that when all of our special guests comes into town, that we'll be prepared and ready for them.
Absolutely.
Any more comments?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I just hope that everybody will come back tomorrow night and listen to Eyes Wide Open. I'll have Michael Hanley on, and he, I'm sure, will talk a little bit more about what he's expecting and looking forward to for the 24th, and we'll remind everyone again tomorrow night to show up on the 24th. And
we need. Can I say one more thing, Ms. Rihanna?
Mm-hmm.
How brilliant Michael Handley's mind is. You guys are perfect match on Eyes Wide on Tuesday, and I just sit there and enjoy and listen to you guys dialoguing back and forth with each other. You have such brilliant brains, and I learn so much every single time. I just like to plug you in and put you on mute and put my speaker on and just listen to the conversation that you all are having, as well as we need
Thank
to reach
you.
Out to Mr. Brandon Johnson as well. We'll tune in on Thursday night so we can piggyback into his show. Actually, I had sent a notice out to the new president of Gregg County NAACP to find out that he had been hospitalized. So our prayers go out to him for a speedy recovery. But we need to reach out to Mr. Brandon and see if he's available to plug in for Dr. Lamar Jones next Saturday.
Great.
So
I'll reach out to him.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be with you and Chief Spikes and all of those great listeners out there that come in and be with us on Monday night for Marvelous Monday. And I'll relinquish over to you, Ms. Brianna. And I know you're going to play that beautiful song for us to end the show. So I'll give it to you for your final comments. But remember, once again, this coming up Saturday, the 24th, right here in Tyler, Texas, Liberty Baptist Church. And we thank Pastor Marcus Hood for allowing us to use his church there on North Broadway. It is very easy to find, 2506 North Broadway Avenue, Tyler, Texas, 75702, 11 o'clock. Be there early because you want to get a good seat, front row center, and we look forward to it, and we'll see you again on next Monday. Thank you, Ms. Rihanna. I'll give it back to you. Bye.
Thank you. And tonight for our quote, I just want to take a moment to really commemorate Juneteenth and get everybody's thinking about and appreciating and recognizing all that it means. And whether you are living in a state that celebrates Juneteenth, that you know what that is, I didn't realize that some people in some states weren't fully aware of Juneteenth until I moved away from Texas. But I think more and more people are aware and appreciative of thinking about exactly what that means, that people were still living in such a way that legally in this country they didn't have to live anymore. And it's a pretty powerful thing to think about. So if you're not living in a state where you are familiar with what that is, please do go and look up Juneteenth and read about Juneteenth and learn a little bit more. But and a very important person when it comes to Juneteenth is Ralph Ellison. So I have a couple quotes from him. And the first one is, "What a feeling can come over a man just from seeing the things he believes in and hopes for symbolized in the concrete form of a man, in something that gives a focus to all the other things he knows to be real, something that makes unseen things manifest and allows him to come to his hopes and his dreams through his outer eye and through the touch and feel of his own natural hand." And the second one, also from Ralph Ellison, "Nothing ever stops. It divides and multiplies, and I guess sometimes it gets ground down super fine, but it doesn't just blow away." Please go and look up a little bit more about Juneteenth if you have not heard of it or aren't quite familiar with Juneteenth, and you'll be surprised if you didn't know. We love you. We appreciate you. We hope that you will come back tomorrow night, and we always ask that you love yourselves and you love one another and have one another's backs, because we really are all we've got. Let's be there for one another. Good night.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. Done.
every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon, it's to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be